Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. It's 7:35 on this very, very nice and temperate Sunday morning in downtown Chicago. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio on Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue. That was actually very nice, Sam, to play the L.A. Kings call of the overtime. That was L.A. Kings announcer Bob Miller, who concluded his 44th year of broadcasting the L.A. Kings, and that was his last call.
Yeah, they won't go to the playoffs either, so that is the last call.
That is the last call.
They are done.
But it was actually, in watching the game, it was kind of interesting to see the tributes being raised to Bob Miller, and quite a career. And he's had some health problems, but even Vin Scully did a video inviting him to come on over, and they'll kick back and tell some war stories. So
44 years. How many years of the Sunday Spin? How long do you have to go to get to 44? Are we just going to ignore that?
We'll just go right past that.
All right.
It always goes to age with you. You can't help yourself, can you?
I mean, you brought it up.
I brought up Bob Miller. I mean, you know, that's a great career, 44 years.
I just want you to have lofty goals, Rick.
I do have lofty goals, and it's to make it to 9 o'clock this morning.
Fair enough.
Oh, thank you, Sam Panjatovich. Well, joining me now on the phone is Dave McSweeney. He is the state representative from Barrington Hills, Republican from Barrington Hills. And Representative, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Well, thanks for having me on, and go Blackhawks. I'm ready for the playoffs.
Yes, I think we're all ready for the Blackhawks. Time to foil her up, Coach. There's no doubt about that. I want to get your take on what the heck you're seeing going on in Springfield. We've seen kind of the Democrats and Republicans in the Senate trying to work on what they call a grand bargain. We had the governor saying that he didn't think it was enough to help the business community, that it wasn't worth the suggested tax increases that are going on. I know you're vehemently anti-tax, but, you know, as we keep adding to the debt, is there any other way out of this?
Well, Rick, what's happening in Springfield now is we keep spending money. Under Pat Quinn, the budget was $35 billion. We don't have a budget. We're spending $38.3 billion, but we're not funding essential social services and higher ed. We're just spending money in the wrong places. There have been no reforms to pensions, no reforms to Medicaid. That's where the money is. And as far as where things stand, we have failed in Springfield. It's like Groundhog Day, right? You pass a stopgap, and the deficit continues to increase. When Pat Quinn left office, we had a $4 billion unpaid bills balance. This morning, I checked, it's $13.1 billion. So this cannot continue. I've come to the conclusion that we just have to give the governor a lump sum. Our projected revenue for the next fiscal year is $32.3 billion. We should give $32.3 billion to the governor, and we should allow him to manage the money. We continue to destroy this state by not adopting a budget. There's no hope of a budget. You look what's going on right now, and you have people talking about, you know, bipartisan grand bargain. That's just the code phrase, Rick, for a massive tax increase. That's all that it means. Raise your income tax rate by 33%, adopt a new streaming tax, raise the corporate income tax, drive more people out of this state. We are not going to be able to, in my view, and I just want to speak the truth, reach a deal on the budget based on the politics. People are already running for governor. People are already running TV ads right now. We need to just move the state forward, send the governor a lump sum, let him manage the money. That's why we elected him. He's a businessman, and he said he can manage the money based on our existing revenues of $32.3 billion.
But, of course, there is some wariness there of just turning over a lump sum over to the governor, not knowing what programs necessarily that he would cut.
Well, you're right. And the governor has not proposed a balanced budget. That's very clear. But he said that he, as a businessman, as the person who ran as an outsider, has the ability to manage the money. What I know is that we are not going to adopt a budget on Springfield. And I think we just need to speak the truth about that. I think right now there have been discussions going on in the Senate, as you know, I think they're very far apart. It looks like Bill Brady is now carrying a big tax hike as part of his plan. I know President Cullerton and Leader Redonio continue to have discussions. I don't think that's going anywhere in the House. I don't see the appetite, frankly, in the House for a tax increase. I just passed by a voice vote this week, a resolution that opposes the streaming tax, the Netflix tax. We passed by 87 votes, a resolution opposing the income tax rate increase that has been proposed. And I think what the people of this state who actually are leaving, as you know, 115,000 people left, are looking for us to cut spending. And I think one of the biggest disappointments I have is that we have not focused on controlling the growth of pensions and Medicaid. And specifically on Medicaid, let's just say up front, we need to protect the truly needy. Anybody below 125% of the poverty level should not be affected. But we have not gone for federal waivers. We've not completed the private audit of the system. And frankly, the governor did the wrong thing by not going to meet with Republican leaders, meaning the president and other governors, 46 governors, to talk about Medicaid changes. That's where the money is. You ask, why do we focus on pensions and Medicaid? That's where the money is, and that's where we have all failed, because we should not be talking about raising taxes when we've increased the deficit by $9 billion over the last few years by not having a budget.
Well, you know, and when we talk about Medicaid, and of course that's the federal subsidized with state dollars as well, health care for indigent and seniors, we always kind of talk about Medicaid as a place to look because of, there's your fraud and abuse kind of issues. But that's been a constant refrain for decades. And
it's just not waste and fraud. In fact, the first thing we need to do is reduce the payment schedule under the Affordable Care Act. That's number one. Number two is we do need to complete the private audit of the system. Right now, approximately 25% of the people in the state are receiving some kind of Medicaid. We should actually limit it to the truly needy. And in order to do that, in order to only cover people who are below, in most cases, 125% of the poverty level, you have to go for federal waivers. And Greg Harris, who's a Democrat, has had some outstanding ideas on the ways to bring more federal dollars in. We're only getting 50 cents in the dollar. States in the South are getting 62 to 63 cents in the dollar. And we should be talking about things like they're doing in Utah, which includes community coordination on care. So there are a lot of innovative things to be done, but that's where the money is. I mean, we do not need, Rick, it's a fallacy to say that we need to gut spending for the truly needy. That's what's happening without a budget. I mean, just to make sure that there's a complete understanding among people listening, 91% of the budget is on autopilot. We're just not funding social services and higher ed, so we're spending more money than ever. We should be protecting the needy and funding social services. We should be funding higher ed. It's just heartbreaking what's going on when kids aren't getting money for school. In order to save money, we need to address pensions. And you and me have had this conversation over the years. It's totally constitutional. We need to reamortize the pension debt. We need a new Tier 3 system for new employees that's based on 401ks. And I support President Cullerton's pension model. But all that said, there is too much talk. It's nonstop, 24 hours a day. We have trackers following the comptroller. We have around-the-clock politics in Springfield. There's no hope for a budget. I hate to say that. So let's give the governor a lump sum. He said he wants to manage the money. We can give him some special powers to reamortize the pension debt, to make some changes in Medicaid, to get us off these consent decrees, court orders, which we haven't been doing over the last few years, which is creating a lot of additional spending. So my view is let's move on, give the governor an authority, let's adopt property tax relief. That's another thing we need to do in this state. That's another thing that's driving people out of this state, is property taxes are too high.
Well, now in the House, was movement on another stopgap kind of plan, $800 million, I think. And I'm not sure that that's going to go anywhere.
No. In fact, you look at that, that's just like putting a Band-Aid on a gaping wound. I know what people are trying to do is just to fund. Again, it gets back to social services and higher ed are not being funded. They're being used as hostages in this whole budget game. If you give the governor the lump sum authority, he can make that decision. He can fund the social service agencies. He could fund higher ed. Again, pension and Medicaids are out of control right now, the Medicaid budget, as I said. And what we need to do is we need to focus on a permanent solution. But this is just more politics. The House It's like Groundhog Day. Go back almost 18 months ago, we've been doing the same thing. Pass a stopgap, which increases the deficit. In this case, the Senate might not take it up, and then we'll get into a situation. The governor has already said that he's going to veto a stopgap, so that's not a solution. And we only have less than 2 months left in session, and we're going to be right back to the same place, which is deficit spending and people talking about tax increases. Again, the scariest words in Springfield right now are grand bargain. Just so everybody knows, that is a code phrase. That is Springfield talk for a massive, massive tax increase. Higher taxes than Pat Quinn even dreamed about.
We're speaking with State Representative David McSweeney, Republican from Barrington Hills. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue in downtown Chicago. Joining me on the phone is Republican State Representative Dave McSweeney from Barrington Hills. And we're talking about the continued impasse in Springfield. And Representative, you touched on the whole idea that we've moved into 2018 politics already and the campaign for governor. And I mean, I've kind of had my doubts that getting a budget is unachievable because of the fact that the campaign just never ends.
It definitely never ends. In fact, we have the governor running TV ads now. We have multiple Democratic candidates around the clock. We're already in campaign season, and nobody, in my view, is focusing on the long-term problems this state will have if we continue to spend money that we don't have. And one of the big issues that's going to happen very soon is we are going to be downgraded again by the rating agencies. We'll be a triple B and Baa3, but we're also going to ultimately end up falling below investment grade. What that means is we're going to have massively higher taxes in the future that people will be pushing for, because it'll cost us more money to borrow. So it's becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy. People have been talking about a tax increase for a couple of years, but the reason people are talking about a tax increase is because we keep on spending more money. $9 billion more debt than under Pat Quinn, and we're spending $3 billion a year more than under Pat Quinn. And think about that. I mean, that's what, without a budget, we're spending that amount of money. And to think that we should go to the people of Illinois and say, pay higher taxes because we are spending money that we don't have on pensions and Medicaid, and we're not making reforms, it's an absolute disgrace, and it's going to continue to get worse.
Well, and you've touched on a very good point about the issue of that credit rating. And, of course, you know, it's not something, I guess, maybe most people know, but it's just like a personal credit rating, and, you know, that determines your credit worthiness, and you have to pay more to borrow more. And borrowing is a function of the state. And when you look at these, the backlog of bills, that about $14 billion by the end of the fiscal year, I mean, that's been one of the concepts for trying to reduce that backlog, is to borrow. But what would it cost, you know, at junk grade status to borrow money to try to dig yourself out of the hole?
It's going to cost at least 2 percentage points more if we fall below investment grade, which means that it'll probably take us 10 years then to recover from that, which means, again, more spending, more taxpayers' money wasted in the future because we are not doing our job in adopting the budget. But that's what I think some people misunderstand in the state, is that we don't have a budget. Some people think we're saving money. We're actually spending more money. And the most ridiculous thing I'm saying, why are we paying state workers without an appropriation bill? I mean, I want to pay state workers, but we should pass an appropriations bill. And that's one area I have a strong disagreement with the governor on, is that he now has a plan that wants to focus on paying state workers without an appropriation bills. When did state workers become more important than the truly needy social service agencies, than MAP grants for our college students? That is what's created this problem in this state, is that for the last couple of years, 91% of this budget's been on autopilot, and we're paying state workers without an appropriations bill. If we are forced to adopt an appropriation, oh, and by the way, Rick, we're paying ourselves now, which is absolutely outrageous.
Right.
We're on a legislators are on a continuing appropriation. So social services aren't being funded. People want to raise your taxes, but legislators are getting paid. State workers are getting paid. That's why we have a crisis in the state, because we are spending more money than ever, and people want to raise your taxes.
So you're supportive of Lisa Madigan's efforts in the courts, too?
Absolutely. She should have done it 2 years ago. I mean, I don't understand. Why would a government appropriate money automatically? It doesn't make any sense. So that's one of the problems in Medicaid right now, is there's been really no effort to take off the consent decrees, to take off the court orders for automatic spending. Those orders are there for a reason. We should be addressing those issues so we can actually control that spending. It's the same thing with state workers. Why are we paying state workers without an appropriations bill? And I want to be clear, I want to pay state workers, but we should do it as part of a budget. Right now, there's a proposal on the table that would pay state workers automatically forever without an appropriations bill. How does that make any sense? Especially when we're increasing the debt every single day, and every single day people are talking about a grand bargain, which, again, let me be clear, is just the code phrase for the largest tax increase in the history of the state of Illinois, which will drive more people out of this state.
But the governor says that Lisa Madigan's efforts and those who support those legal efforts to stop state employee pay are basically trying to orchestrate a government shutdown.
No, what I'm trying to do, and I've been saying for 2 years, Lisa Madigan's 2 years late, is we should be focusing on cutting spending and controlling the deficit. That's the only way this state's going to move forward. And my proposal is to give the governor a lump sum authority, not a shutdown. That would actually solve the issue here. Is that we have $32.3 billion of revenue projected for the next fiscal year beginning on July 1st. Give the governor $32.3 billion. That's what we should be doing in this state. But this whole idea that we should be paying state workers forever without an appropriations bill is outrageous. I oppose it.
You also touched on the issue of Democratic Senate President Cullerton's bill to deal with pensions. And there has been no movement on that. And, of course, there's a great deal of speculation that there is no movement on that is because we've moved into 2018 politics, and that this his proposal is not something that would be viewed greatly upon by organized labor and the public employees unions, and that's why that bill is just kind of sitting in limbo.
Well, the problem is if we don't address pensions immediately, we don't address Medicaid, then we're going to continue to have a situation that people will not only push to raise taxes, but that we won't have social services funded. So I don't see any other alternative. The old saying, why do you rob banks? That's where the money is. Why do you look at reforming pensions and Medicaid? That's where the money is in the Illinois budget. And it's a fallacy to say that you've got to gut spending for the truly needy. What you need to do is you need to address the big items. You need to make sure that we're addressing these cost of living adjustments. And the pension system right now is allowing a 3% compounded cost of living adjustment. Inflation's only at 1.5%. That's driving up the cost. And in Medicaid, we've talked about those reforms. So my view is that we need to just give the governor the authority, send a lump sum with some authority to reamortize pension debt, make some changes in Medicaid, and give them $32.3 billion. The alternative is, again, I'm really sick and tired of hearing about this grand bargain, hearing about compromises. Again, the taxpayers, when you hear that, watch your wallet. They want to raise your taxes. Pat Quinn, if you're listening, I bet you never even dreamed about a tax increase as high as people are talking about right now, which is pretty ironic.
When you talk about reamortizing the pension debt, why don't you explain that?
Well, right now we have a set schedule to basically fund the pension debt through 2045. We're going to fund it at about $7.3 billion. We need to restructure that debt. I mean, we right now, we have an insolvent state. We have $13.1 billion of unpaid bills. We're going to run a deficit of at least $6 billion. We are in a situation right now that we could get it up to $24 billion of unpaid bills. We need to restructure that schedule so that we're reducing the payments at the beginning. But in conjunction with that, we also need pension reform, which includes a new Tier 3 system, includes addressing cost of living adjustments like President Cullerton has been trying to do. But it just means restructuring the pension debt. You can't continue to put $7.2 billion, it's going to go up to probably $7.6 billion into the system every year without fixing it. We have to restructure the debt. We're insolvent.
When you talk about the Tier 3 system as a 401k, I know there are still concerns about the Tier 2 system for newer employees about whether
you have to replace that. Because Tier 2 doesn't work. Let's
explain the why. I mean, because there are concerns about the fact that the benefits that would be paid out don't meet the threshold that would then force the state to pay Social Security.
That's true. And that's why Tier 3, and to be clear, right now Tier 1 is for existing employees, as you know, and then Tier 2 is for employees hired after 2011. It's a system that's in trouble, that doesn't work. So when you create a new Tier 3, it would have to be for new employees and replacing the Tier 2 system, because Tier 2 is going to create a big problem for us in a few years, that's for sure.
So when you say we should just send the governor this lump sum of $32 billion, that's what you'd like to see happen. But I'm not sure that's going to happen.
Well, I mean, the alternative is to raise taxes through the roof, which will drive more people out of the state. The other alternative is to continue to spend money we don't have. I mean, we just have to tell the truth. Rick, you cover this very carefully. We're exactly the same place we were 18 months ago. I mean, you could close your eyes and listen to the debate the other day on that stopgap. It's the same thing. And even if something comes out of the Senate, even if the Bill Brady tax increase plan comes out of the Senate, the House has no appetite for it. Again, Mike Zaleski, and he's chairman of the Revenue Committee, we've considered zero bills to raise taxes, I'm glad and happy to say, in the House so far. So I don't see the path forward without doing this. The only other path is stopgaps. And a stopgap just means that we're going to continue to spend money way beyond Pat Quinn ever dreamed, and we're going to destroy the state.
That's State Representative David McSweeney, Republican from Barrington Hills. Representative, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Sunday Spin.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be back with more right after this.